now. What I know about sound is it's either on or off. My sound guy hollering at me. I didn't turn it on. Okay. So, the Jordan River represents a place of transition. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that we need to be transformed. How many understand that we need to be transformed on a daily basis? Amen. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ daily. And so the old flesh stands up and the old flesh makes itself available to the desires of the flesh, the wants of the flesh. The Bible says, don't give room to the enemy. Don't even give him a foothold. The Bible says that resist the devil and he will flee from you. Is that what it says?
Yes.
But before that it says submit to God. Then resist the devil. A lot of people are trying to resist the devil, but they haven't submitted to God. If you really want to resist the devil, you have to submit to God. And so we quote that scripture, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, you resist the devil by submitting to God. That's how you resist the devil, by submitting to God. And I love what Jesus did here. He didn't throw a tantrum. He didn't get in a fight with the devil. He just whipped out scripture on Satan. That's all he did is whipped out. And you know what's amazing? It was Old Testament scripture. It wasn't New Testament scripture. Think about that. I had a man tell me, he said, Pastor, I've never been in church where somebody preached out of the Old Testament so much. Well, I got news from you. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. Jesus is the Old Testament. He is the New Testament. He's everywhere in the Bible. The Bible starts with Jesus in Genesis, where I will have the seed of the woman crush your head, to Revelations, where the seed of David will rule and reign forever. From front to cover, front to back, it is all about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the enemy tempts the Word of God with the Word of God. Are you serious? Are you serious? The enemy tempts the Word of God with the Word of God. That tells me he is a liar. He is a thief. He is a father of lies. He can't even tell the truth. He can't even tell the truth when he reads the Word of God. He misquoted it to Eve. He misquoted it to Jesus here when he talks about falling off of the jumping off of the temple. So how many know that you need to know the Word of God and have it established in your heart so the enemy cannot come and deceive you with a misquoted Word of God? And so this is what I'm talking about. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit to God first. And that's why it's so important to know Word. Because the devil, he knows a little word. And he'll misquote the Word because he can't tell the truth. Jesus said he cannot tell the truth. And so today and in this series we're talking about understanding that the enemy wants to come against the thoughts and plans God has for you. He wants to come against the anointing. How many knows that God has anointed you? The second you got born again, God anointed you as a son, as a daughter, and commissioned you in the kingdom. Say, I'm anointed of God. You are truly anointed of God. The Bible says so. Paul says it. You're anointed of God. You're called of God. You're chosen of God. So, theoretically, the enemy would want to come in and mess up the assignment, right? And I tell people, if God has thoughts and plans for you, the enemy probably has thoughts and plans against those thoughts and plans for you. God has thoughts and plans for your children. The enemy probably has thoughts and plans against the plans God has for your children. So hence why we pray, and we're praying so much, and this is truly becoming a house of prayer. So the Bible says in Joshua, we're not going to turn there, but God had told Joshua, I want you to invade the land, but he said, before you go over, you're going to have to cross the River Jordan. And one night in the evening, Joshua, he's in meditation. He comes down and he runs up to the Jordan River and he sees an angel standing there with a sword. And Joshua in his might, and how many, Joshua is just a fighter. And he runs up on this theophonic representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, are you for us or against us? And that's what everybody wants to know about God. Are you for me or against me? Are you for me or against me? How many want God? Paul said, God is for us. But he gives an answer that's staggering, and he said, neither. And this is where most Christians get tripped up. Because they want God to be for them, but they want it to be their plan. And God said, I'm not for your plan. I'm not for their plan against you. I'm for my plan for your life. Say, God is for me, but he's for his plan in my life. I have found out that most of what I think I should do or what I could do or what I might do in my flesh and myself, I can't trust. How many know you can't trust yourself?
That's right.
And so in this situation of the temptation of Christ, it's an amazing it's amazing reflection of how the enemy deals with us in relation to what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Jesus said, "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled." How many want to be filled? You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Jesus was led in the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was hungry. Isn't it interesting that right after Jesus in the fast and he's hungry, the enemy shows up, the tempter comes up, and when the tempter came, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The reality is Joshua is at the Jordan River, and he's about to lead the children of Israel, the Old Testament church, into the promised land. Jesus is at the Jordan River. He's just been baptized by John the Baptist. He's been anointed by the Holy Spirit. The heavens were open and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." And the first thing Satan says, "If you be the Son of God." God just said he was my Son. God just said, "This is my beloved Son." Read back in chapter 3. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And what does Satan come up in here? First question he says, "If thou be the Son of God, if thou be born again, if thou be anointed of God, if thou be controlled by the Holy Spirit, what are you doing in this mess being hungry?" How many know that sometimes you can be hungry, and the enemy, he will come into our lives and he wants to see, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? That's a really serious question spiritually. What are you hungry for? It's a spiritual question. "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." John the Baptist, he had just mentioned in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, he said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has just showed up. He's on the scene, and the kingdom of God is about to be revealed in the earth. The reality is Jesus has just been anointed by the Father, authenticated by the Word of God, authenticated by the Holy Spirit. "This is my beloved Son." John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The heavens open up after he's baptized. "This is my beloved Son." The Bible says that he saw a dove descending on him like the Holy Spirit. He's just been authenticated. He has been now made the Son of God. He has now been announced to the world. And the first thing the devil comes and says, "If thou be." Satan is still questioning God's word. God just said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So the real test of leadership and the real test of understanding what God has for you is after God has anointed you, after He's chosen you, after He's authenticated you, the enemy wants to know, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? I know you're hungry. Is it for power? Is it the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh? Satan needs to know, what are you hungry for? The reality is the enemy comes in when you have been anointed. He comes against you when you have been sanctioned by God. How many know that the anointing and calling of God, it draws angels, but it also draws the enemy? How many understand that? So how do you handle that anointing? How many know that your anointing is sacred and holy that God has given you? It's a sacred and holy thing God has given you. It is God's plan for your life. When you get to heaven, you will have a discussion with Jesus Christ about the anointing He placed on your life. How many believe that? Yeah. Well, if you don't, I'm here to tell you, you get to have a conversation about the anointing and the callings and the gifting God has placed on your life. You get to have that discussion with Jesus. Yeah. You do. You get to have that discussion with the Lord. It can be an interesting discussion. So if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus say? Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. So it's the Word of God that is going to keep my spirit man alive. It's the Word of God. This is the bread that God has sent me. This is the living bread that God has sent down. What did Jesus say in John 6:35? I am the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. I don't need to turn these stones into bread. I am bread. I don't need to make these stones what I already am. Bread doesn't need to make bread. I'm already bread, devil. I'm already bread. How many understand that? You can't give me what I already am, and I'm not going to manufacture something into something that it's not. I'm not going to manipulate things in the kingdom of God. I don't need to manipulate what God has already made me to be. I will not manipulate my anointing. I will not manipulate my calling. I will not turn stones or people into what they are not. The Bible says that we are lively stones. That's what Peter says. We are lively stones, a house built up unto God. How many know you have been, according to the Bible, you've been referred to as lively stones? And Satan wanted to know, will you manipulate these stones, Jesus, to make something that you can devour? Hallelujah. I won't manipulate myself. I won't manipulate people. I won't manipulate my calling. I don't need to manipulate these stones into bread. I am the bread of life. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The enemy and the tempter, he will always try to get us to manipulate and pervert what God has anointed us to do and what He has anointed us to be. That's why it's so important that you know who you are in Christ and whose you are. I mean, a lot of people know that they are sons of God. But many people do not know that they are kings and priests unto God. How many know that you're a son of God by birth? You have now been born of the Spirit. Jesus said, that is born of the Spirit of Spirit. You've been born of the Spirit. The Bible says, Romans 8, that you are now called the sons of God. If you have been born of the Spirit, you are now called the sons of God. That's what Romans 8 says. But the Bible also says that not all you're only sons of God, you're also kings and priests unto God. So God is saying, I want you to understand what I have done in your life. I didn't just make you family, I gave you authority. I didn't just make you family, I gave you authority. I didn't just make you a son, I gave you authority. I gave you authority in the kingdom. How many understand that? In fact, Peter says we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and I know everybody knows this. We're a people of God's own possession. And God is Christ, according to Titus, He says, call us to redeem us from every lawless deed. How many know you've been redeemed from lawless deeds? And we purify Himself unto a people for His own possession. In other words, God says, Stephen, you are my prized possession. How many know you are God's prized possession, and He's proud of you, and He loves you, and He cares about you, and not only has He made you family, He said, I've given you a place to operate in the kingdom with power and authority in my name. Greater works you shall do than what I'll let you figure that out on the way home. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, the devil continues the barrage, and he says, the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. What is wrong with that issue? He just misquoted God's word. He just reads Psalm 91. You'll find out he just misquoted God's word. When the enemy comes to you, anytime somebody comes and the word of God is misquoted, misinterpreted, you need to beware it's not from the kingdom of heaven. It's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never misquote God's word in your life. Away with this notion that God told me you're supposed to go out and die so I can marry your husband. That's not in God's word. Away from these crazy notions in the church. But nowadays you see it in the church, it's just unbelievable what's going on in relation to God's word and the watering down of God's word. The reality is today in many churches you go to, there is not even a mention of the Holy Spirit or talking about the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is the agent of conviction. How many know that if you go to church and you're never convicted, you're not in a church? If you are never convicted, you're not in church. How many know that almost every lesson that Jesus taught, somebody got convicted? And one of the reasons that people flock to churches and big churches today, because it's a milquetoast, watered-down message, and here's the message. God loves you. That's true. That is true. God loves you. That's 100% true. But the second part of that message is God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And that's what does not get preached in many churches in America, is you're okay, you're good, we're good, God loves everybody, and He does love everybody. Trust me, that's true. But the reality is God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Can I ask you, when you were raising your children, did you change their diapers? Oh, you didn't leave them the way they were. Did you wipe their runny noses? Oh, you didn't leave them the way they are. So you actually got involved in the process of raising them and maturing them.
Yes.
Because because there's an area of growing as Christians in the body of Christ that we see a country that now has gone into the degradation of secular humanism. And I got news for you. I am just baffled as I look at the news. And it's seemingly just to me that it's not going in stages. It's going at warp speed of the degradation that we're beginning to see in this country. It's unbelievable, the degradation that we're beginning to see. I was looking at something on the news, and there's a name for people that don't know what they are. Sexually.
Confused,
okay. They had another name, I can't remember what it was, but that's close. I think that was close. No, it was even different than that. Unidentified flying object, it wasn't that. I don't know what it was. But as we see this process going in the country, Satan has people so confused they don't even know who they are anymore. They don't even know whether they're male or female. They don't even know who they are spiritually. They don't even know who God is. And the reality is, as we see this going on in the world, there's only one bright hope left, and that is a church, and the church of the living God that is going to stand up and become who God has called us to be, sons and daughters, but kings and priests. Sons and daughters pray, kings and priests intercede. That's the difference that God is looking for. For he ever liveth to make intercession. God is always looking for somebody to stand in the gap for others. So, here the enemy says, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to take you to the temple. And this is just amazing to me. The devil take him up to the holy city, Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Jesus said in John chapter 2, he said, I am the temple. He said, I am the temple. He said, in fact, if you tear this temple down, in 3 days I'll rebuild it. Jesus said, I am the temple. Say with me, Jesus is the temple. But know you not, you are the temple of the living God also?
Yes.
Paul says, know ye not, ye are the temple of the living God. Jesus said, you want the temple to go cast himself down off the temple? You know how confused the enemy is?
Yes.
Turn these stones into bread. I am bread. Hey, jump off the temple. I am the temple. Amen. Do you understand how confused him is? And we're letting him run the world and run this country. And my goodness, we need to wake up and understand he is confused and misguided. I am bread. I don't need to turn these stones into bread. Why don't you jump off the spire of the temple? I am the temple. Why would the temple jump off the temple? Do you not know who I am? And the reality is, Satan does not understand who Christ was. He does not understand the totality of salvation. And he did not understand that when the crucifixion of Jesus Christ came, the Bible says clearly that the princes of this age would not have destroyed the Lord Jesus Christ or crucified him had they known what they were doing. See, the temple doesn't need to jump off the temple. In fact, when Jesus told the Jews that, he said, you 3 days, he said, you tear this temple down, I'll destroy it. And because they missed the message of God, they thought they were talking about the physical temple. And they told him, it took 46 years to build this. What are you talking about? You can do in 3 days. I got news for you. God can redo in 3 days what 46 years of living has destroyed. I'm serious. I have seen God do it. I've seen God take people out of alcoholism, drug addiction, out of horrible situations. And I've seen God take 46 years. And in 3 days, I've seen the power of God change hearts, lives, minds, forever.
Amen.
Some of you are sitting in here today.
Amen.
You tear this temple down. He said, I'll rebuild it. He said, I am the temple. You're asking the temple to jump off the temple? Some of the things the enemy puts in our heads are insane. Absolutely ridiculous of the things that the enemy will come against us with. How many know that he is the father of lies? He's a liar. He cannot tell the truth. And just say with me, the devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
Don't be afraid to say it. Jesus said it. If thou be the Son of God. The Bible just said, the Father said, this is the Son of God. A voice from heaven said, this is the Son of God. Throw yourself down. I refuse to succumb to enticement and temptation and trickery and bribery to validate who I am. When you know who you are and whose you are, the devil cannot get you and bring you into trickery and bribery and temptation. Just because you met me in the wilderness doesn't mean I'm lost.
Right.
Devil, just because you met me in the wilderness doesn't mean I'm lost. Just because I don't have a job right now doesn't mean I'm a bum. Just because I'm not married right now doesn't mean I'm not a good husband or a good wife. I'm not lost, devil. How you met me is not how God defines me. The reality is that what the Bible says, it was the Spirit of the Lord that took him in the wilderness. So if it was the Spirit of the Lord that took him in the wilderness, wouldn't it be the Spirit of the Lord that's going to lead him out of the wilderness too? So what you're going through, if you're going through a situation, do you know there's a Spirit of God that will also lead you out of that situation? I'm in the wilderness, the Spirit led me there. But if He let me in, He has a promise to lead me out. The Spirit led the Lord into this wilderness. I don't care who you are, every person I know, at one point or another in their life, experiences a wilderness situation. I don't care how well you are to do. I don't care how put together you may pretend to be. Every person in this room at one time or another, or currently, is going through or living in a wilderness situation. And I got good news for you today. A wilderness situation is not permanent. A wilderness situation is not permanent. That son or daughter is going to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. My marriage is going to get better. A wilderness situation is not permanent. The reality is, the devil cannot make a wilderness situation permanent in your life. Jump off this temple. Cast yourself down. Cast yourself down from who God has made you to be. Let's see, I've heard that before. Cast yourself down. Cast yourself down. Cast yourself down. If thou be the Son of God, Matthew 23. Come down off that cross. If thou be the Son of God, come down off that cross. If thou be the Son of God, come thou down off that cross. If thou be a born again believer, come down off your principles of living. If thou be a born again believer, come down from the high place that God has put you to be as a king and a priest and a son and a daughter unto God. Come down from what God has anointed you to be. What you need to understand is if Jesus wouldn't jump off the temple, He wouldn't come off the cross. If Jesus won't jump off the temple, He won't come off the cross. Show yourself off. Show everybody who you are. Let's go to Jerusalem, the holy city, the Bible says. And He said, I want you to get up there and jump down and show everybody who you are. Show everybody how great you are. Show everybody your gifting and your anointing. Jesus understood something. You remember the Pharisees, they say, show us a miracle. Show us a miracle. And after Jesus performed a miracle, what was their next statement? Show us another one. Show us another one. Show us another one. And after that next miracle, what did they say? Show us another one. Show us another one. Show us another one. Show us another. And the Bible said in John chapter 2 that Jesus did not trust Himself unto those that only believe in miracles. I got news for you. You don't need to just believe in miracles. You need to believe in the mediator, Jesus Christ, and understand that you don't need a miracle every day. Jesus is your miracle every day. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a miracle every day. Is He the God of miracles? Absolutely. But demanding God perform a miracle and then sign, the problem is a generation that seeks a sign like that. The Bible says it's a wicked generation. If you got out of bed today, it's a miracle. I can take you down to places where people didn't get out of bed today. Say, I got out of bed today, that's a miracle. You need to praise God just for that right there. You got out of bed today, that's a miracle. I remember one time I was going through some stuff and my father said, I'll tell you what, son, I'm going to take you down to the VA and we're going to go through the VA hospital. And he said, by the end of that tour, he said, you won't be complaining or whining anymore about your life. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Devil, come down off that cross. That was just the enemy speaking. Just like, why don't you jump off the temple? The reality is God had placed in Jesus Christ the total plan of salvation. And the enemy did not understand that plan, but he understood a word that God had given in Genesis. And in that, He had given a word that the seed of the woman shall destroy you. The seed of the woman will destroy the enemy. The seed of the woman, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman. So the devil did not quite understand everything that God was doing in. And you need to get this in your spirit. The devil did not understand what God was doing in salvation, in redemption, because he had never been redeemed. He did not understand redemption. And you've got to understand that about the enemy. He can't even quote God's Word right. He can't even read the God's Word right, or he would understand redemption. And so I want to tell you today that your redemption that God has brought you is a sure thing, is something that God has anointed you with, something God has appointed you with. And the enemy says, I don't understand the salvation that you're sold unto God for, so it's settled unto God forever, so I'm going to mess up the plan of God in your life. If I lost you to the kingdom of God, I don't want to have you have any power in the kingdom of the earth. So here's what the devil did. Turn these stones into bread. I don't know about you, but I know he was hungry. How many know Jesus was hungry? The Bible said he hungered. And we talked about that last week, of being hungry and fasting after a fast. I got news for you. You're ravenous. You're ravenous. And so the temptation was legitimate and it was real. Take these stones and turn them into bread. And Jesus, he doesn't fall for the trick. He doesn't fall for this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we need bread of life, but we need every word of God. Everybody say every word. You need this as much as you need bread to eat. You need the Word of God as much as you need bread to eat. How are you going to live? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how you're going to... I thought I was going to live by bread alone. No, no, no. God says no. No. You want your marriage to live here. You want your children to live here. You want your life to live here. You want life in your life here. You want abundant life here.
Yes. Amen.
After dinner, after church is over today, I'm sure we're all going to go get dinner. I'm back to some of you probably already thinking about it right now. Where you're going, I can feel it. I can feel that. But God said, that's not how you're going to live. You're not going to live by that alone. You're not going to live by that alone. You're going to have some of God's Word. How many know that food or earthly bread doesn't fix bad children? Doesn't fix children that have gone rogue. Doesn't fix situations. Mentally. Doesn't fix the heart. It's only the Word of God that can do that. And so Jesus pulls the devil up short, and all he does is just whip Word of God, whip Word of God, whip Word of God, whip Word of God. Of all the things I want to be known as, I want to be known as the pastor that preaches the pure Word of God. I don't want to get to heaven and find out, well, you preach some word. No, I want to hear you preach the Word. The Word. So we're having to deal with this situation of understanding hunger. What are you hungry for? If I know what you're hungry for, I'll know how to tempt you. If I know what you're hungry for, I'll know how to... How many know that the enemy just listens to your words? That's the point of entrance. That's the point of entrance. David says this about God's Word. He said, at thy word... At thy word is the light, the point of entrance. At thy word. David said, your word got me, Lord. Your word got me. And so the enemy wants to know what's on. If he wants to know on your mind, you know how many of us daily we just talk openly and freely about the negativity and issues in our lives? What does Paul say? Brethren, think on things that are pure, true, holy, lovely, and a good report. He said, there be any virtue, think on these things. Why does the Apostle Paul exhort us to think on the things of God? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
So why do we give the enemy a roadmap into our lives? David said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
Rejoicing is a choice, brothers and sisters. Rejoicing is a choice. So you can't give me what's already mine. Turn these stones into bread. I'm already bread. I'm already bread. Jump down off here right now. Jump down off here and see what the angels do. Jump down off here. How many know that God has given us angels? But you know what? I got something better than angels. It's called the Holy Spirit. My goodness, do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God for angels, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that is the regenerative power of the living God. Angels can't raise newness to life, but Holy Spirit can. Do you know who raised Jesus from the dead according to the Apostle Paul? If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, who raised Christ from the dead?
The Holy Spirit.
Who?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. You want angels to take charge of this situation? Jesus said, if I won't come off this cross, I got news for you. If I won't come off this cross, I won't leave my mission. I won't sacrifice what God has for me to do. I won't get off this cross. I won't come down, jump off this temple. If I won't jump off this cross, that means I'll get up out of the grave. That's what God is saying. Come down off that cross. Show them who's boss. Show them who's boss. You ever want to show anybody who's boss? Jesus said, I don't need to show you who's boss. I don't need... Remember when the Jews came and they said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God. That's what they said in Matthew 23. If thou... I wonder where they heard that. They heard that somewhere before. If thou be the Son of God, come down now off the cross. Show us who you are. When you know who you are, you never have to deceive what you are. You never have to lie about it. You never have to pretend about it. I'm the Son of God. And if God called me to this wilderness, He will resurrect me out of this situation. I'm not coming off this cross. This is who I am. This is who God has identified me to be. What does Paul say? Take up your cross on Sunday. Daily. Jump off the temple. I am the temple. You want me to jump off myself? Jump off the cross. Coming off the cross, that doesn't prove I'm the Son of God. Staying on the cross proved He was the Son of God. Where they only believe in miracles, they will soon not believe even in the Maker itself. Jesus said, if you're only seeking a sign, He said, here's the sign. 3 days in the ground. Devil, are you trying to tempt me with angels? I got something better than angels. How many of the Holy Spirit is a secret weapon of God? The Holy Spirit is a secret weapon of God. And here's what Jesus said. He said, I don't need angels to take charge over me. I've got truth. I am the bread of life. I am that bread that came down heaven. I don't need to make bread. I am bread. I'm the living bread. I don't need to jump off the temple. I am the temple. In fact, the temple I am going to be taken down and in 3 days restored, and this temple will be made new. Why would the temple jump off the temple? I am the temple. God resides with me. When the disciples said, show us the Father, what did He say? Take a look. He said, the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. Jesus said, I won't come off the cross. That's what makes Him God. Staying on the cross will prove who He is. Staying true to your convictions. Staying true to what you have promised. Staying true to God's Word. That proves you are a son and a daughter and a high priest and a king unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Staying true to what God has called you to do. Yes, I appreciate the angels. The Bible said He could have called 10,000 angels. In fact, in Matthew it says 12 legions. But Jesus said, hold it, devil. You need something. Jesus said, that's as born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's as born of the flesh is flesh. How was Jesus conceived? Anybody know? It's about to be Christmas time. How was Jesus conceived? By who? Not by an angel. By who? The Holy Spirit. You messing with the wrong dude, devil. An angel didn't do this. God's Holy Spirit did this. You messing. You talking about coming angels catching me? I got news for you. I got a Holy Spirit. I was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I was prophesied by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lit on me when I got up out of the water. Do you understand? I am the Son of God. And guess what, Holy Spirit? He will raise things that are dead. The Holy Spirit is the resurrection power of God in your life. Yes. Devil, I don't need to jump off. I don't need to worry about angels. I have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's better than angels.
That's right.
Don't trust an angel to what the Holy Spirit does.
That's right.
I don't know about you, naysaying angels? Not at all. I praise God for the angels. God has given us all angels. But it's the Holy Spirit that resurrects dead life. It's the Holy Spirit that resurrects dead wombs. It's the Holy Spirit that resurrects dead businesses. It's the Holy Spirit that resurrects dead children. It's the Holy Spirit that resurrects dead marriages. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit! And it's only the Holy Spirit that can resurrect America. See, angels represent God. They represent protection. But they cannot bring resurrection power. That's only by the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's really important to know the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when Jesus had risen from the grave and he was meeting with his disciples, the Bible said he breathed on them. Then he said something real interesting. Receive you the Holy Spirit. That's the first example in the Bible of men being born again. Because before Jesus raised from the dead, men could not be born again. They could not be born again. The only thing that can be born again is something that has been washed and purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now you have resurrection life in you. Now you'll never die. Angels can keep your life physically, but the Holy Spirit can keep your soul eternally. I ain't jumping off here, devil. I am the temple. I ain't jumping off, you fool. I am the temple. I'm not turning this stone into bread. I am bread. Do you understand how crazy some of the things are the enemy comes at you with? One of the turning points of my life was I'll never forget as I was in high school. And you've heard me talk about this, and we were going to this party. And the Holy Spirit pulled me up short. Put up a tractor beam right there. Holy Ghost force field, right there. And he told me, don't you go in that house. Don't you go in that house. You cannot believe the death and destruction that came out of that situation later on in the lives of my friends. God loves you, has a plan for you. So does the enemy.
Amen.
But God said, I've given you a secret agent. His name is the person of the Holy Spirit. I was born of the Spirit. I was conceived by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit raised me from the dead. The fact is they crucified Jesus and he died, but the truth is they couldn't kill him because of the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you need resurrected in your life today? The Holy Spirit is the agent of resurrection. The Holy Spirit and he alone is the agent of resurrection. I bet you if I talk to every person in this room today, there's something you need resurrected in your life. Same situation. I don't care how together you are, how put together you look today. I bet you if I talk to everybody personally in this room, there's something in your life that needs to be resurrected. And as much as I praise God for angels, the resurrection power that God has given is the agent of the Holy Spirit. Devil, I don't need to throw myself down. And why do I need to worry about it? I got 3 times more angels than you got.
Yeah.
I got a lot more angels than you have. I don't need to call angels when I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not negating angels. Don't get me wrong. But the Bible said it's the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us into all truth. That's what your Bible says. It is the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit that will lead us into conviction. Throw yourself down. What? I am the temple. Turn these stones into bread. What? I am the bread of life. I'm not wheat bread, corn bread, rye bread. I am the living bread of heaven.
Amen.
My goodness, you don't even know who you're talking to. And Jesus is just dealing with the reality of each and every one of our lives. Because the enemy wants to know what you're hungry for. Trust me, he'll pick and probe. What are you hungry for? What did he say to Eve? Did God say you should not eat of every tree of the garden? He wanted to know, Are you hungry for what God said is not yours? Did God say you shall not eat? Everybody say eat.
Eat.
Represents hunger. What are you hungry for, Eve? Well, you know, God's lying. If, once you eat that, you'll be like gods. And you know the truth. See, he wants to know what we're hungry for. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. What are you hungry for? If I know what you're hungry for, I'll know how to tempt you. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. I'm exhorting you today. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know why? Because the devil can't touch that. So he can't touch that. He can't touch that. He, what's that song? Boom, 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 boom. Can't touch that. He can't touch that. He can't touch hunger for thirst and right. He can't touch it. He has nothing to do with it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. He can't touch it. I don't know if you guys can get that song up. There used to be a song called Can't Touch It or something like that. But anyway, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, he can't touch it. He, okay, I'll put it this way. He can't tempt you.
That's right.
Amen. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! Say, he can't touch that.
He can't touch that.
He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. I went down there to Mark, tried to mess with Mark, but he's hungry for righteousness. He's thirsty for righteousness. Ain't nothing I can do here. You know, the Bible says at the end of it, the devil threw the tail between his legs and walked off and left Jesus alone. And that's next Sunday. I'm going to get there next Sunday because we're going to talk about the temptation of the kingdoms of the earth. But the Bible says the devil said, I can't touch this. There's no place of entry here. He knows word.
Yeah.
He knows who he is. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
Gotta go. Just say with me. Doom, 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 doom. Can't touch that. Doom. He can't touch righteousness. He can't.
Uh-oh.
Brother Jesus, I'm going to show you next week where the devil had to leave.
Yeah.
Doom, doom, doom. Can't touch that. Doom, can't touch that. Say with me. He can't touch that.
He can't touch that.
That's God's word. Father, I just pray right now that in the fullness of what this series is about, God has given us a plan. It's a detailed description of how to resist the enemy. You have to know who you are. This is my beloved son. You have to know what God has called you to do. You have to know what God has anointed you for. What God has called you for. You have to know that Jesus has breathed on you and you have the person of the Holy Spirit. You have to know whose you are and who you are and whose you are. For we are kings and priests under the Most High God. That's what your word says. I'm just the messenger. There are some things the devil can't touch. And one of them is the righteousness of God. One of them is the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. You receive that today?
Amen.
Before you leave today, if you are in a wilderness situation, don't leave here without prayer, getting prayer for your situation. Because I believe that God wants to deal with wilderness situations. For if you are in that situation, that does not define you or who you are or your situation. You're defined by what God says about you. Your children are defined by what God says about them. Your grandchildren are defined by what God says about them. Because when God saved you, He was after not only you. He's generational in purpose. He's generational in thought. When God saved you, He was looking way past you. He was looking for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. For I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim, David, Solomon, Stephen. Is he your God today? If he is, he's after you and everything you have. He's after all that you have. Amen? Stand for the blessing today. Say, he can't touch that. So God would equip us to the point that the devil would get frustrated and walk off. Resist the devil, and he will. Say with me, he will flee from you. That stunk. He will flee from you. Starts with submitting to God. Put your hands up for the blessing. This is God's will for your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. That's God's will. This is the only prayer that God ordained personally. The Lord bless you and keep you. These are the very words of heaven. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And God said, if you'll put My holy name on your children, I will seek them. These are the words of the Lord to you today. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't leave if you need prayer. We have prayer warriors up here that will pray with you. If you need to go and get to Lacanos before the Baptist, get out of here and get going right now. God bless you. You're dismissed.